to the NBA Roadshow, episode number 247. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is not with me. And I tell you what, it's kind of the end of an era right now. I am home in Las Vegas, Nevada. He is home in Las Vegas, Nevada. But I'm just going to say, I feel like today is going to be a little bit different. Like I said, the end of an era. If you had taps to play right now, isn't that the name of the... Yeah, there you go. I could probably ask Cold Coffee to add that into post, but that's not going to happen. For 247 consecutive weeks, we have sat down every Thursday to bring you the latest edition of the MMA Roadshow. From the very beginning, when we launched this podcast, I said two things were important to me. One, I wanted the sound quality to be good. So we invested in some very, very expensive equipment, and hopefully it sounds very good every week. That's always been a big point of pride for me, is that I got, you know, dug into my own pockets and bought some kind of a high-level, broadcast-level equipment because, man, I love listening to podcasts, but when the audio quality is bad, oh, man. Brutal, right? Like, I can't do it. Like, maybe I'll stick around if it's that good. But, I mean, unless it's truly compelling, it's just frustrating, right, man? So we've always had good audio quality, I believe. I've been proud of the audio quality we've been able to reproduce here. The other thing was consistency. Man, I wanted to have a consistent schedule because I know maybe some of you are creatures of habit. Like, I'm a creature of habit. I like to do things in a routine, man. My wife will tell you it's annoyingly so. Like, it's not, you know, to the level of, like, OCD wildness where, like, I have to wash my hands six times or open and close a door, like, seven times before I can leave the house. It's not like that. But I like things to be, you know, kind of in a routine. You know, I got the order that I like to do things, that sort of thing. So I didn't want to be one of those podcasts that, you know, we deliver and then you get used to it and you're like, man, can't wait to get to the gym this morning. I'll throw them on and listen to some MMA talk while I'm banging out my cardio. And then no episode. So I never wanted to be that guy either. And for 247 consecutive weeks, we've delivered. Today, it's going to be a little different. If you can't tell already. I've had the flu for the last 48 hours. At least what I'm pretty sure is the flu. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know. My mom kept telling me to go to the doctor, but whatever. I mean, it's not like, I don't know. Like, come on, man. It's bad, but I don't know. I didn't think it was necessarily going to the doctor. Maybe if it lasted for several days or whatever. But it was crazy. Monday afternoon, I did the studio shoot that we do at the MMA Junkie Radio Studios. Every week we're shooting this new thing called the Spinning Back Click. If you haven't checked it out, that's a video that you can see on MMA Junkie. It's on YouTube as well, but it's pretty cool. Like, myself, Gorgeous George, Ghost, and the radio crew, we get together, and we do this quick little rundown of, like, hot topics in MMA. And it's been fun. I think we're seven episodes in. It's been a fun thing. It was a concept they came up with. Cold Coffee shoots it and edits it, and I get to sit in on it and kind of help host it. It's fun. I think it's fast. It's quick discussion. So, anyway, we shot that. Then we also shot a rankings report. You know, George Garcia handles our rankings at MMA Junkie Radio, and we thought, you know, rather than just releasing rankings, why don't we have a little... there we go again. Why don't we have a little video where we get to explain it a little bit, you know? And so, you know, I kind of press him on why certain things are a certain way, and he kind of sets up why things are how they are. So, you know, just if you ever wonder why our rankings are what they are, if you... You know, debate. I noticed that he's been actually getting in there and kind of debating in the comments section, which is cool. So it's some, you know, healthy stuff there. So anyway, did all that. Then I actually went to Syndicate here in Las Vegas. I was shooting a video project. It's not my video project to talk about, so I can't say a lot about it. But it was a pretty cool little concept that a familiar name was shooting. I sat down on that. I was being asked questions about a particular UFC fighter. And, you know, some things about his career and that sort of thing. And when the time comes, it's not like a big top secret thing. It's just not mine to reveal. But when it's done, I'll definitely let you guys know about it. I thought it was pretty cool. So anyway, did that. All was good. Went home. Did a little bit of work and spent some time with the family. and then went to bed, and man, I could like feel it coming on, man. I don't get sick very often, but I could just feel my body running down. Man, like aches and pains in my joints and exhausted, man, just fatigued. And yeah, it was just after UFC 245 fight week. And at first I was like, eh, maybe I'm just kind of run down from UFC 245, you know, busy week and all that. But man, it became readily apparent very quickly. That was not all that was going on. And by the time Tuesday came around, man, I'm not gonna lie, I was struggling to like stay awake, as crazy as that sounds, man. I was working my shift, and man, just like headache, spacey, having trouble concentrating. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't get sick very often. I've never had a flu shot in my entire life, but I man, I guess it's just a thing of getting old, man. I'm gonna have to start getting one, because this took me out of commission for like 48 hours. So I'm sure you can hear it, my voice now, whether you've ever heard me speak or not, you can tell it's not normal. Not to mention, I'm trying to fight back the coughing. I've got a refrigerator full of Latchkey frosty beverages from our boy Anthony Beach. He came in and visited over the weekend, and he's got me all set up with a refrigerator full of Latchkey brewing. I can't even open it up right now, man. I'm having water right now. I'm trying to suppress this cough with water. I got cough drops going on. I've been taking Dayquil and NyQuil. So anyway, I stayed in touch with Cole Coffee, and I was like, listen, it finally started to break today. So I guess it's probably been about a good 48 hours, you know. Thursday morning, I woke up and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm starting to feel normal again. So 48 hours, not too bad. But I mean, for those 48 hours, it was brutal, man. It was like I said, hard to focus, hard to concentrate, hard to have any energy at all. And so I hit him up this morning, and I was like, well, listen, I think I'm like my I couldn't even really talk until today, so it was going to be impossible. But suddenly I felt okay. I was like, my voice is coming back a little bit. I think I can talk. I'm like, that said, I'm pretty sure I have the flu, like based on what I'm reading, based on all the signs of what it is. And I don't know if you want me to come over to your house, because everything I read, it's still contagious right now. And he was like, yeah, dude, I'm battling a cough right now, so I'd prefer you not. I can't really blame him there. So I stayed home, and he's at home, and yeah, man, this is the episode that almost ended everything right here. But some audio is being put together, but I don't feel like this is much of the quality that we like to bring to the table. I am struggling just to speak. So man, thank you to everybody that listens to the show. It means the world to me, man. I love nothing more than sitting down and talking to you guys. And man, when I meet people around the country and around the world, like, I love the podcast, man. I love listening to you. That means the world. So please understand, I am sorry that I am so awful today, man. Gonna have to start getting those flu shots, man. I'm 41 years old now, turning 42 in March. Time to start acting like an adult, I guess. So, listen, hopefully you got a chance to catch the oh, this is gonna hurt. Hopefully you got a chance to catch the I can't even do it. And a half. Oh God. Episode after 245. I didn't get to do it that night, but I did it the next afternoon. Hopefully you got a chance to catch that and had some thoughts. It was a good card. Still seems to be the biggest point of discussion is Colby Covington and what the reaction is from him and how he should be treated and all those things. And there, you know, to be honest with you, there's some really great points on both sides of it. Like, I wish both sides could kind of see each other a little bit, you know. Like, I feel like the two arguments are on the one hand, and this is journalists, but just fans too. I mean, what I'm seeing out there anyway, it's like, on the one hand, it's yeah, Colby got exactly what he had coming to him, and that's right, and you know, F that guy or whatever. And on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, the guy's a pretty good fighter, and maybe we underestimated just, you know, how good he is, and maybe he deserves credit for that. And I think, you know, I don't think you have to like the guy or like the promotion in order to rank him as a fighter, respect what he's capable of. And I think you have to, at least, I mean, I don't find it difficult to do that, to separate the two. Like, when we're evaluating mixed martial arts contests, I mean, I'm not trying to pick a winner by based on who I like better, right? I mean, we're saying who has a better set of skills. I mean, they don't have to be a nice guy, you know. I stand by this. I do not like the way Colby Covington, promoted himself. I don't have a problem with a lot of it, but he definitely crossed the line in some very specific instances, and for that, you know, I think he deserves to be criticized. But I don't think you should take away from what he accomplished in the cage or what he proved in the cage. In fact, you know, it was interesting when we were having our rankings discussion. Gorgeous George Garcia said, you know, he actually even considered moving Colby Covington up to number two. Right now, of course, Kamaru Usman is number one, Tyron Woodley's number two, Colby Covington is number three, and based on that performance, George considered moving him up to number two. Ultimately, decided to just leave him where he is. It does sound like the USC is trying to work on Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington next, which would be good. But anyway, it's just been intriguing for me to follow on because I think Colby's going to be around for a while. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he certainly has the skills to compete with anybody in the division. Now, what he does next, how he promotes himself next, we'll see. I mean, he had to kind of make a deal with the devil to get where he is, right? I mean, that's where it goes. And I think even in that deal with the devil, he went too far. It's not all fair in love and war, man. You don't get away with anything. I mean, I understand that Dana White says this is not the nice guy business, and he's right. You don't get away with anything. You get away with a lot, but you don't get away with anything just because it's fight promotion. And I understand there will be people that always hold that against him and always judge him, and that's fine. You don't have to be a fan. But I do think he has the capability of being a force in that division for a long time. We'll just see where he goes from here. Can he continue to train at American Top Team? I don't know. It sounds like Dan Lambert has his back. Dan Lambert's been a part of his career from the very beginning, and it sounds like he wants to continue to do so. But can you do that if it means separating your coaches, separating the training teams? Now, I mean, American Top Team is a massive facility, man. That gym is huge. So to have one guy in there, working on their own would not be an issue. You could absolutely do it. I mean, heck, the last time we were down there doing the gym visit down at American Top Team, Dean Thomas had Jillian Robertson in a one-on-one little area. They were just, you know, doing one-on-one drills. That's kind of her personal coach. So even though pro practice was going on, they were off in an area all by themselves, man. They came in on their own, left on their own. It was at the same time as everybody else, but they were on their own. So it's not like it's impossible to do. It's just, you know, is that okay with your coaches? Is that okay with everybody else? So, I don't know. It's been interesting for me to see how long the fallout has been from 245. It was a big card, and of course. I'm so sorry. And, of course, there's not a big event this week. So that probably plays into why it's gone on so long. But the fallout has been interesting. Hopefully this is comical to other people as well. I hope it's not just annoying. If it is, I apologize, and please don't hold it against me forever. Let's just talk briefly about what's coming up this weekend. There's quite a bit of MMA this weekend. Two Bellator cards out in Hawaii. Matt Erickson is out there. He's covering both those cards, Bellator 235, or Salute the Troops, as it's being known. That's Friday night, Paramount and DAZN. Some good fights there. The return to action of Josh Barnett. It's been a while since we've seen him in action. He's fighting Hani Marks, who's at heavyweight now. I think the weigh-ins came at 250 pounds. So, Hani has put on some size over the years that we've seen him starting out in the UFC and then moving over to the PFL and now in Bellator as well. I don't know that he's a natural heavyweight. I mean, he is muscular. I see him. I don't know if he can just overpower Josh Barnett, but we'll find out. That's definitely the key fight there. Toby Misich versus Eric Perez is on there. I mean, Eric Perez, Goyito, of course, the longtime Mexican contender who looked like he was going to be the Mexican face of the UFC. He left for a while, went over to Combate Americas, and now is in Bellator. So that'll be a name to watch there as well. Key women's matchup, Veda Ardiaga versus Alejandra Lara. Both those women are wanting to get back to a shot at the title, which is contested the next night against Aleema Leigh McFarland. So, you know, those are all kind of key fights up there at the top. Then, of course, you know, Beltor always has their featured kind of prospects on there. Speedy Claxton is on there. Joey Davis is on there as well. Joey Davis, a huge favorite here. So both those guys are looking to continue their successful run as prospects. Of course, Speedy Claxton lost recently, so he'll be looking to bounce back. That'll be an interesting position for him to be in. He was kind of one of these young studs. Now he's going to try to rebound from defeat for the first time. Meanwhile, Joey Davis continues to impress everybody. He's kind of, you know, the good thing in Bellator, you don't necessarily get rushed up to the top, right? So Joey Davis, 6-0, fighting Chris Cisneros here, who's certainly much more experienced, but Joey Davis is a massive favorite going into this. That's going to be on Friday night, again, from the Niles Blaisdell Center. Matt Erickson's out there. Dan Tom is out there as well, so if you want to kind of follow along with him, I see he's been shooting some kind of behind-the-scenes coverage. I don't think he's doing a lot of official junkie capacity out there. He's got some family out there, but he's certainly shooting some video and doing some other things. I know he was there for Josh Barnett's epic pro wrestling inspired open workouts. He does that a lot with his open workouts, but they were outside in the grand yard there at the Hilton Hawaiian Village. So they had plenty of room to work with. And Josh Barnett, ever the performer that he is, he used it all. So that'll be Friday night. I'm not going to be covering any of that because what I'm going to do is I'm going to be sleeping and then I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. Simon Head and Fedor Hanoun are going to help me out in covering UFC on ESPN Plus 23. That is the card from South Korea. Now, if you're not based in North America, you should probably tune into this. There's some good fights. If you are based in North America, don't worry about catching this live. You know, TiVo it, find it later. The prelims are on ESPN. Gosh, TiVo, man, I just said how old I am. That's a sickness come through. That doesn't even exist anymore. DVR it. and then the main card will be available on demand. But, of course, the main event, Frankie Edgar, Chan Sung-jung, the Korean Zombie. I mean, that is a fight that was supposed to happen. It's happening now. It's short notice for Frankie Edgar. It should be a fantastic fight. Now, Frankie Edgar supposedly still has his bantamweight fight with Corey Sandhagen scheduled after this. God bless him. I just don't see any way he gets out of this fight unfazed. MMA legend Frankie Edgar, so I will put nothing by him, but man, that would be a tall order to get out of this clean and then be able to have that Sandhagen fight. So we'll see, but that should be an extremely exciting main event. Now, the main card, the six fight main card, starts at 5 a.m. Eastern, so 2 a.m. Pacific here on the West Coast where I'm at in Las Vegas. So it'll be a tough ask, but at least that'll be available on demand later in the day. Volkan Oezdemir versus Alexander Rakic in the co-main event. That is a big co-main event in that division. I think it's easy sometimes to not get excited so much about light heavyweight contests of up-and-comers just because, man, we know we got John Jones at the top, and that is a tall order for anybody in there. But this is a big one. You know, Rakic has been on a bit of a roll. Currently, we have him at number 14 in the MMA Junkie rankings. Of course, Volkan Oezdemir stormed up the charts. He's had some up-and-down results since. We have him at number 9. But this is a big matchup in the light heavyweight division, especially if Rakic can prove successful, man. He has looked very, very good as of late. Du Ho Choi has returned against Charles Jourdain. That could be a good fight there. Kyung-hyo Kang, I've always been high on him as well. So, you know, a couple of very, very entertaining names could be on the main card. And then the prelims have some interesting fights as well. Tanner Bozier, tough as they come, but facing Ciryl Gane. Man, how good has Ciryl Gane looked? He's looking to announce himself as a legitimate heavyweight contender right out the gate. So keep an eye on that one. Suman Mokhtarian returns. Always been a fan of him just as a person as much as a fighter, man. He's always fun to hang around with and talk the sport with, facing Sungwoo Choi. But the one on the prelims that I'm super excited about, Alexander Pantoja versus Matt Schnell. That is a phenomenal fight right there. To me, that's the best fight on the prelims, and I can't wait to see that one. Tough call right there. And then, of course, personal interest, I'll be watching out for Miranda Granger as well, the former Cage Fury Fighting Championships title holder, making her USC debut all the way over there in South Korea. So I am pumped for that one. So there are some highlights on there. We'll have live coverage. We don't have anybody on site but myself. As I said, Simon Head and Fedor Hanoun will all be bringing live coverage on the site. So if you want to bang out the play-by-play or whatever, you want to keep those live updates, we definitely will. Then later that night, the team will come back. We're kind of working in shifts. And we'll have Bellator 236 McFarland versus Jackson, undefeated women's flyweight champion Alima Leigh McFarland puts her title on the line against Kate Jackson, the Brit coming in, looking to score the upset. Tough assignment. Look, Alima Leigh McFarland is legit. She has, you know, been tested. She's had some trouble spots along the way. She has proven that she can be, I don't want to say beaten because she hasn't lost yet, but, you know, she has had to battle out of some tough spots. So be interested to see if Kate Jackson can put her there. And then, of course, the featherweight Grand Prix quarterfinal, Derek Campos versus AJ McKee. Man, how long we've been telling you about AJ McKee, and now this is another opportunity for him. Derek Campos, tough as they come, you know, has had some up and down results as well, but is going to put you in a fight every single time out there. So really, really excited for that quarterfinal fight, man. AJ McKee, I feel like he's finally ready to break into his own as well, man. He's had enough time to kind of simmer beneath the surface, and now it's time. And then the other name I'm really looking forward to, Rafion Stotts. If you're not familiar with Rafion Stotts, man, this kid I feel like should have been in a major promotion a long time ago. I don't know exactly what it is that took so damn long to get him in. I know he had some contract issues here and there, if I recall correctly, hearing behind the scenes some promoters that didn't want to let him go, that sort of thing. But Rafion Stotts is fighting for Bellator. That's somebody you want to watch. And then Nainoa Dung as well, somebody that has looked fantastic early on in his professional career at just 3-0. Certainly somebody you want to watch there as well. So those are kind of names to keep an eye on. The prelims there, more of the locals. I will say this, the last time out there in Hawaii, the locals threw down, man. That Saturday night card, you know, the Friday night was more the fight for the truth. The Saturday night was the fight for, you know, tickets were being sold that night. And, man, just that atmosphere I'll never forget, because you had all these fight camps kind of showing up early to watch their team, you know, their training partners fight. Man, some of the most spirited fights that I've ever seen in prelims, man. The arena was packed. They were vocal. They were loud. And people were throwing down. So I will say this, if you're free on Saturday night and you got some time and you know, you're just looking for something to watch, it might be worth your time to at least see some entertaining fights, even if you don't know all the names involved, because last time they were pretty special. And then on Saturday, kind of sandwiched in between all that is Glory Kickboxing as well, and that'll air on UFC Fight Pass. Now, normally I don't mention much about kickboxing because I'll be honest, I'm not a massive kickboxing fan. I don't know why, because it's actually funny. I mean, I've told the story before, but Muay Thai is actually what kind of led me into mixed martial arts. So you'd think, I don't know, maybe that would be something I'd be excited in. I'm not sure what it is exactly. Maybe it's just because there's not as much coverage of it, or I'm not as familiar with the athletes. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I mean, the highlights are certainly, you know, phenomenal when they're on point, but there are certainly some names worth keeping an eye on this card. Now, like I said, there are some different global distributions, but I think for most part, the full thing will air on UFC Fight Pass. And the way they do it in different cards, and it's confusing, to be honest with you. It's the same card, but they've got Glory Super Fight Series, Glory 74, and Glory Collision 2. So it's super confusing. I'm not going to lie. I can't even... I hate to talk bad about them. The fine folks at Glory have been very nice, and actually talked to myself and Cold Coffee about potentially being out there this weekend. It's in a 30,000-seat stadium, so it's going to be a massive event out there in the Netherlands. So I think the scene is going to be really cool. And they wanted to get us out there and take a look at it and see the product up close. You know, Marshall Zelaznik, longtime UFC exec, he's in charge of Glory now, and he was like, "Listen, man, we'd love for you guys to come out here and just be our guests and see it. You know, firsthand, man, see what the kind of product that we're offering, because I think you'd like it. I think you'd be impressed by it, and I think people would dig it." But ultimately, we couldn't swing that. But I'd still be paying attention. The main event of the pay-per-view is you know, a rematch of legends with Rico Verhoeven and Badr Hari. So you don't have to know much about kickboxing at all to know those names. You've probably heard them cross your plate at one time or another. Those are two legends of the sport, no question about it. So they'll be going at it in the main event, incredibly anticipated. But I think the one that's going to be most interesting for MMA fans is Alex Pereira fights in, I guess, what you would call the featured prelim, if you want to see it that way. It's the main fight of Glory 74, which is again, it starts with the super fights, then it goes to Glory 74. Then I know it doesn't make sense, but anyway, he's the one that knocked out Israel Adesanya. Obviously famous in MMA circles for that. Now, I had a chance to talk to Alex Pereira through an interpreter. He doesn't speak English. And in fact, his final quote to me was, "The only place in this world that Adesanya is better than me isn't speaking English." So he doesn't speak English. He's from Brazil. He speaks Portuguese. But he did not hold back. You know, he said that he feels like at this time he would knock out Israel Adesanya even easier than he did last time they fought back in 2017. So it's interesting. You know, it was Adesanya's final kickboxing bout before he turned to MMA full-time, and he made his UFC debut less than a year later. And we've seen, obviously, the meteoric rise that he's had since then. And Pereira even says, listen, I understand that your striking skills will diminish a little bit as you're training for MMA because you have to work so much on the rest of the game. You have to work on your wrestling. You have to work on your jiu-jitsu. So you're not going to be as refined in your striking as you would otherwise. He's like, I get that. And then he said, and it was funny, he said, you know, I'm sure when I go to MMA, my striking is also going to go down a little bit. So I said, when? He said, yeah. He's like, my contract in Glory allows me to fight 2 MMA fights a year. He's like, I haven't found the right ones right now, and I don't know that against Adesanya right out the gate is going to be the one that he gets, but it is pretty interesting. I mean, if Adesanya just keeps ripping through people, and, you know, I mean, if he's able to get past Romero and get past Costa, which, hey, no easy task there, man. Those are 2 absolute monsters. But if he was able to get past them, you know, there's always challenges that are rising up the ranks. And there's other names in that division. It's a very, very talented division. But if he's able to beat them, you know, do people start saying, well, what about the guy that knocked you out? He's out there, and he's saying he'll come over to the UFC. I mean, the guy's already fighting on Fight Pass anyway. I don't know. Maybe it might be something the UFC would be willing to entertain. You know, it's not a fight that needs to happen right now, but why not pay attention to it, right? So if you want to keep an eye on that guy, he'll be fighting Saturday afternoon as well. So that's kind of the lineup for what's going on this weekend. Like I said, we'll have it all fully covered for you. Hopefully, we'll all be a little bit healthier in the meantime, because this is just ridiculous. I can't subject you to this any more than I can subject me to this. So, alas, I believe we almost have to admit defeat. I have to say the streak is over, even though technically it's not. I mean, I can hang on a technicality. I can hang on an asterisk. But I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if my honor can take that. I don't know. You guys hit me up on Twitter, MMA Junkie John. You let me know what you think. In the meantime, I cannot subject you to this punishment any longer. Thanks for listening.